This week on Making Contact.
I wanted people to turn a corner and see a pink tree. You know, a pile of rubble spray painted with polka dots.
Let me tell you something else. If you could have been here and seen her work on it, this lady really worked. She had her ladders, climbing those trees. She painted limbs, stems. That's a job.
On this edition, Street Art Among the Ruins. Take a tour with us through the streets and landscapes of New Orleans as we discover creative art displays that reflect the city's deep cultural roots, the troubled times it faces, and the sense of hope being nurtured in the midst of Katrina's rubble. I'm Tina Rubio, and this is Making Contact, a program connecting people, vital ideas, and important information. Before we talk about art in New Orleans today, let's first remind ourselves what happened after Hurricane Katrina hit and the levees broke at the end of August 2005. All the warnings were there.
The storm is potentially so destructive that authorities have ordered the entire city of New Orleans, of more than 1 million residents, to be evacuated.
We cannot stress enough the danger this hurricane poses to Gulf Coast communities.
We are encouraging all of our citizens to leave the city of New Orleans. This storm is enormous.
Those who could leave did.
The roads out of New Orleans are moving at a crawl as tens of thousands of people heed the call to evacuate.
But tens of thousands were left behind.
Residents unable to leave because of poor health, age, or financial problems are being moved to special emergency shelters.
This is, again, going to be perhaps a historic event, and unfortunately, a potentially catastrophic event.
Then, a national nightmare.
Hurricane Katrina is estimated to have killed thousands of people, forced the evacuation of tens of thousands more, and caused...
And we will not allow bureaucracy to get in the way of saving lives.
Why aren't we ready? Why weren't we prepared for something like this, which after all has been foreseen by many experts for a long time?
The cries for help seemed to go unheard.
Help! Leave!
These people couldn't leave because they couldn't afford to leave. Superdome people went in that shelter because they couldn't afford to leave. And now we're dying?
We don't have no running water. We can't be by ourselves. We're hungry and everything.
We don't either.
I need reinforcements. I need troops, man. I need 500 buses, man. Don't tell me 40,000 people are coming here. They're not here. It's too doggone late. Now get off your asses and let's do something. And let's fix the biggest goddamn crisis in the history of this country.
The guy who runs this building I'm in, emergency management, he's responsible for everything. His mother was trapped in St. Bernard Nursing Home. And every day she called him and said, are you coming, son? Is somebody coming? And she said, yeah, mama, somebody's coming to get you. Somebody's coming to get you on Tuesday. Somebody's coming to get you on Wednesday. Somebody's coming to get you on Thursday. Somebody's coming to get you on Friday. And she drowned Friday night. She drowned Friday night. Nobody's coming to get him. The secretary has promised. Everybody's promised. They've had press conferences. I'm sick of the press conferences. For God's sakes, shut up and send us somebody.
Due to the hurricane in the area you are calling, your call cannot be completed at this time. Please try your call later. 012T.
Walking down the streets of New Orleans today, almost a year and a half after Katrina, you can still see the numbers of the dead spray-painted on doors in just about every neighborhood. You see holes in rooftops of houses where people busted their way out against the rising floodwaters. You see FEMA trailers and construction workers. A broken city trying to make itself whole again. But there's something else, if you look a little closer. There's a bubblegum pink tree next to train tracks. A fence that looks like the Lite-Brite toy. They're all part of Art in Action, a collection of art pieces installed around the city by New Orleanian artists reclaiming their community one piece at a time. Making Contact's Emily Polk and I met with the founder of Art in Action, Elizabeth Underwood, in a quaint cafe in the Faubourg Marigny, a section of town famous for its bohemian artists and musicians.
You know, I've always believed in very old school notions of the artist's role in society, which is that we are the storytellers, we are the message bringers. We might say things or, you know, make pictures of things that you don't necessarily want to look at, but ultimately it's good for society. We are the barometer of mental health. You know, the creative arts, whether or not you're an artist, is an incredible process of catharsis and healing. So I feel like it makes perfect sense that the arts movement in New Orleans is just exploding.
Like so many others, Elizabeth lost everything after Hurricane Katrina. She wants Art in Action to be an umbrella movement that gets art out into the streets. For her, it's a way to bring something positive to the city and to connect with the people who are suffering just like her.
And particularly, like, right after I was here for Mardi Gras, it became clear to me that what New Orleans needs more than ever is work that is positive, forward-thinking, not so much work that's processing the devastation, though that has to be happening on a daily level. Just when you drive through the streets, you know, you're processing the devastation and the trauma and the loss and the absence, etc. But I felt like the people that are living here are working so hard and dealing with so much stress and so much grief that what they needed wasn't another, you know, a little installation of flooded items from someone's house nailed together on the neutral ground. What they needed were little beautiful surprises when they would turn a street corner, kind of tantamount to the surprises we've all been getting post-Katrina, where you would turn a corner and you would see a car on top of a house, or you would see an empty space where your favorite grocery store used to be. I wanted people to turn a corner and see a pink tree. A pile of rubble spray painted with polka dots. Just beautiful little surprises that would function in the same sort of vernacular as this like surreal visual experience that we get in New Orleans.
Elizabeth spends hours with us, driving around the city, showing us the places where Art in Action has left its mark. Currently, there are 12 sites throughout the city, but Elizabeth has plans for more. We're on our way to her personal favorite.
Hi, Mr. Rooney.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
You gotta sneak up on me.
Yes, sir. It's such a beautiful...
You gotta sneak up on me. Well, three musketeers.
Well, apparently, we can't... Nobody
sneak
can sneak up on
a bandit.
That's Mr. Rooney. He's in his 80s. And has lived in New Orleans his whole life. We're across the street from his house in Gentilly, where he planted and cared for nearly a dozen trees 3 decades ago.
That's an oak tree. It's dead. This a golden rain. This a mimosa. I'm sorry, and this is another golden rain. Now, if you want to walk back here, I can show you two crepe myrtles. But you have to go in the bushes, so y'all don't think you want to go travel through there. But they got a red crepe myrtle right over there, close to this other golden rain, and they had a white crepe myrtle. On the other side...
A pink tree. That's right. It's painted bubblegum pink. Elizabeth calls it Pink Tree Pink. It sits in an area near train tracks where locals have lived for generations.
So the tree's dead and very spindly and fine. I've stripped a lot of the branches and painted them with bubblegum pink paint, as well as the trunk. I stopped at a certain point as to echo the flood line. You know, I also like that people can see the top part is where you still see the dead tree, and the bottom part is where you see what somebody can do with the dead tree. So I like that contrast.
While she was painting it, Elizabeth befriended Mr. Rooney. And as we stand under Pink Tree Pink, Mr. Rooney tells us about the neighborhood and the people who used to live in the houses.
On that corner, they had a man named Clifford Gascon. My emotion coming out. Katrina did him in. When his family brought him back to see what Katrina had done, in about a week he died. He was a great little guy. He was in his 80s. I don't know exactly how old, but he was 82, 83 or whatever. He was here when I moved here. So he was there before I was. He raised all his family. Clifford Gascon. So his family is supposed to come back also.
Did you ever get lonely out here when you guys first came back, or when you?
No, I was home. I know what to do. Get in my car or walk in neighbors where I knew people. Cause all over the city, I knew people. And I lived all over the city till I moved here. When I moved here, well, that was my roots then. My other roots. But I was born and raised on Cleveland Bury, that's the third ward, right around the corner of Charity Hospital. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But I was actually born 1831 Iberville Street, December 16, 1926. Midwife brought me here. See, that was the thing during that time, the midwife. Yeah. They come to your house and deliver the kids.
Yeah. So can I ask, when I...
Anything you want to ask. That's right, you're permitted.
Listening to them talk, it's easy to see the way art and action connects people.
When I showed up to paint this tree, what did you think?
Well, I thought it was wonderful myself.
Yeah.
And then when you told me about it, I started spreading the news. I said, we have an artist. I told my wife, I said, I'm going to meet the artist today. She said, I believe that's them driving up now. Because she was driving up.
Yeah.
She just come from class. She go to SUNO, Southern University of New Orleans.
So what do you think about it then? Can you just tell us?
Oh, about the tree?
Uh-huh.
Sweetheart, let's walk this way and talk about it. I think it's absolutely beautiful. And it had to be an artist doing it. And she is a professional. You can believe that. It's beautiful. And look, let me tell you something else. If you could have been here and seen her work on it, this lady really worked. She had her ladders, climb in those trees, not to just paint this, what you would call this, the trunk, Park. Not just the trunk. She painted limbs, and stems. That's a job.
So you didn't think
with a brush. With a brush. It's not like you took a spray paint and just sprayed. Well, you could have caught all of it anyway. But it wouldn't be like she'd done it. She's wonderful. And one day, I felt sorry for her. I seen her scuffling, and I think you came and called me. You said, oh, Mr. Rooney, said, my trunk lid won't open. Mm-hmm. I said, wait a minute. I'm going to try something. I get WD-40. Mm-hmm. I sprayed some in there, put the key in it, it popped open.
Well, all right. Are we ready to head on to the next spot?
Yeah. And guess what?
Thank
y'all
you so
were
much.
So beautiful. And thank you for it. Thank you. Yeah.
Nobody understands ever. And just that one person gets it. It's just so meaningful to me.
We'll have more in a few moments. You're listening to Making Contact, a production of the National Radio Project. If you'd like more information, or for CD copies of this program, please call 800-529-5736. That's 800-529-5736. You can also download programs or get our podcast at radioproject.org. We get back into the car and begin our journey to the Lower Ninth, the most devastated area in the city. Art in Action has installed several pieces.
A lot of New Orleanians that are back they're oversaturated with the Katrina story, and I understand why. You know, they don't want to come into these areas. They don't want to look at the Lower Nine anymore. They don't want to look at Gentilly anymore. They don't want to look at the wreckage anymore because it's too real for them. And I understand that completely. There's days when I'm out working when I, on my drive home, just cry, just sob, because of the, you can feel the spirit of what used to be here. You know that these places are places where people used to live. You know that many people died here, and you know that many people are still suffering even if they're not here. Looks like we're coming on a crime scene here.
I think so.
Yeah, that's the coroner. But this is a common sight in the city, and you know, it's heartbreaking, but it's true. You know, my first couple weeks that I was back, all this crime broke out all in the neighborhood where I was staying. Really violent, absurd crime. And I was terrified of going out in the city, and that was so in opposition to my experience of New Orleans, because New Orleans for me has always been a city where if I, in the middle of the night, I was feeling a little restless, I could get on the bike and go down to the French Quarter and, you know, just go have a Coca-Cola somewhere and smell some jasmine and have a romantic experience. Look at the moon, look at the river, and just feel like I was connected to something larger than myself. Grocery store that was Ferrara's Grocery. It had this big, beautiful mural on the side, and it said "Making Groceries Since 1908." And it was just a great little corner grocery store where I would come get my Sunday paper, and you know, have a bunch of people say, "Hey, baby." I feel like the restaurants in New Orleans now are about so much more than food. They have become community centers. They have become the source of inspiration. Sometimes they're the first residents that come back to a neighborhood. And, you know, you could look at this wreckage. I mean, this is wreckage. And they got their restaurant re-gutted, opened, and back up serving their amazing, like, the city's best po' boys are at Zimmer's. And gumbo and fresh seafood and just, like, this feeling of home. But I keep having to, you know, keep bringing myself into the present moment and remind myself that though, yes, I'm seeing progress, it's still, New Orleans is just, I mean, it's just criminal to me that we haven't seen more progress. If this happened in San Francisco, and I mean, after the Bay earthquake, you know, it didn't take years and years for the city to recover. I mean, look at the sign for the fire department. Can you see that? It's broken and fallen off. You know, that's criminal to me. Those are the people that are back, that are saving lives in the city. Why can't we get them? Why can't that sign get fixed and cleaned off? Why is it still got the flood line on it? Like, and it's not because the people here are lazy. It's because the people here are being abandoned by their government. So we're in the, let's see, what are we? The Upper Nine now. The Upper Ninth Ward, which basically means this side or French Quarter side of the Industrial Canal.
Over Claiborne Avenue Bridge, arriving in the Lower Ninth, as the late afternoon sunlight turns the desolate landscape golden. It's been a year and a half after Katrina, and everything about it is still shocking. The area is a quiet wasteland of crumpled houses, squashed cars, ruined furniture. Bits and pieces of abandoned lives still lay scattered across lawns. Stairways lead to nowhere.
Look at this. there used to be houses here with front yards and porches and people drinking iced tea and Christmas decorations like you would not believe. And it's just, it looks like bombs went off. You know, it just... And not only am I affected by the fact that it still looks like this, but that it happened at all. That it happened at all is what we are still all so angry about. That it happened at all.
Elizabeth's friend Stephen is waiting for us, an art in action artist. He shows us several oak trees where he has carefully stenciled in orange print the word Croatoan.
Croatoan is a word first discovered by John White in 1590. And he returned to the colony that he left there 3 years previous, and they were gone. They disappeared. And all they found was this one word carved into a tree, Croatoan. And there was no sign of the colony, and never ever found the colony anywhere. So they're considered the lost colony. And that's what, when you come down the street, Tennessee Street in the lower Ninth Ward, there's no sign of life. There's no houses left. Well, one or two, but it's mostly just cinder blocks and dead trees. And so I think that kind of echoed what was going on here.
While Stephen speaks, the sounds of chainsaws are a constant reminder of what happened here. These trees where Stephen has painted Croatoan will be cut down soon. But for him, that's all part of the art.
All the trees that I chose were cited for demolition. And so hopefully as they cut down the trees and remove them and the pieces disappear, people start coming back. I think it's important to bring people out to these areas that are not inhabited anymore. Because basically we live in, New Orleans is sort of divided into three sections now. There's this section that's bustling with people. There's another section that, you know, it's kind of back and people are moving back and things are starting up again. And then you have sections of town like this, which is totally deserted. And I think it's important to have people come out here and interact with these spaces and just see what's going on.
And he's right. It's a neighborhood devoid of any real activity except for a handful of workers cleaning up debris or a couple of people visiting their ruined houses. So when people see the word Croatoan, will they make the connection between the lost colony and the loss of the Lower Ninth? Maybe. And the other art pieces. A perfectly stenciled bright green vine on plywood covering an abandoned home. Official-looking signs that read, Hurricane Free Zone, posted throughout the city. Some are meant to anger, inspire, or energize. Others are a surprising tap on the shoulder from an old friend. But will they be recognized and understood? Hopefully. Is street art really part of the solution for the dispirited soul of a city that's undergone such trauma? It's a question worth asking. In a city as defined by creative culture as New Orleans is, there is a collective hope, one rooted in the belief that the arts and free expression made the city what it was, and those same gifts will be part of its rebirth. As we continue on, Elizabeth shares her feelings about the role of artists.
You know, when you're putting human experience into pictures, you're putting stories about isolation, stories about identity, stories about community, place, hunger, death, ego, you know, all of the issues that all of us face on a daily basis. An artist is translating those experiences into pictures or words of any form. And I feel like through that process, then we help people heal, process their own experiences, contextualize their experiences, transcend them, get more honest in their daily life, connect with each other.
And as we turn the corner, another surprise. This time, what looks like a light bright fence in front of an abandoned yellow house. Dozens of water bottles filled with red, purple, and green water are wedged into a metal fence. And inside each bottle, a message.
So what it is, if you come up close, first off, you know, there's no recycling in New Orleans anymore, which is very depressing to me. I mean, there's hardly any trash pickup, much less recycling. So I've been saving all my little water bottles and filling them with colored water and then putting little messages inside each bottle and just sticking them in the fence. And to me, it's a real simple gesture that, like the pink tree, somebody turns the corner and looks this way and it just happens to catch their eye, they're gonna be surprised.
What do some of the messages say?
Well, let's see. The canaries are back. They feel safe. I hope you do too. I hope wherever you are safe and warm. This town is not the same without you. It's just water that I put food coloring in, and then I wrote the messages on regular paper with a Sharpie, so a permanent marker, so it wouldn't fade in the water or wouldn't run. And people are welcome to fill their own water bottles and come put them in the fence and add to the fence and leave their own messages. Somebody already has put some bottles in it, so. Hear the birds?
We look up as dozens of birds fly overhead. For a moment, nobody speaks. The air fills with the sound of wings flapping and wild, frantic chirping. Elizabeth tells us it's only recently that birds have returned here. It's our last surprise to end the day, and we take it as a sign of hope. As life starts slowly trickling back to this devastating region, art in action is another sign of hope among the ruins, of the power of art to transform a broken city and help to make it whole again. We'd like to dedicate this show to Giselle Rooney. She's the wife of Mr. Rooney, who told us about Pink Tree Pink. Giselle died shortly after our interview. That's it for this edition of Making Contact. Special thanks to Dan Turner and Ronald Rucker, and to the Open Society Institute, who helped make this program possible. Our theme music is by the Charlie Hunter Trio. For a CD copy of program number 0707, call the National Radio Project at 800-529-5736. And to see some of the Art in Action artwork, go to radioproject.org and click on the Art in Action webpage. You'll also find other radio programs here as well. Lisa Rudman is our executive director, Dorian Taylor communications manager, Emily Polk field producer, Philip Babbage mixing engineer, Alexis McCrimmon intern, and I'm your host and senior producer, Tina Rubio. Thanks for listening to Making Contact.